We apologize for the poor quality of the first 20 minutes of Artscape, but we had some equipment failure at the station.
There's a buzz. What's going on? Hello, everybody. If everybody out there can hear the buzz, that's not us. There must be a spaceship coming in. That is crazy. Okay, well, just in case it goes away.
Yes, we're just going to keep talking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Artscape. This is our last show in this station forever. Because
forever.
It's moving.
Because there's a buzz, and we can't figure out what the buzz is.
The buzz.
That's so weird. It just started when we started, so something isn't quite right.
The phones.
No.
I don't understand.
Technology is not our thing.
Should we put on...
Is that us turning down, or...
Nope.
Pardon us while we figure stuff out live on the air.
I feel like that's a little better.
Well, we'll just keep going.
Yeah, we'll just keep going.
If it goes away on its own,
yeah. But you know what? Maybe if we just take the earphones off, we won't have to worry about the buzz.
We could.
No buzz.
There.
Ta-da! Buzz gone.
Okay.
All right. So, yes. Welcome to Artscape. I'm Louise Walsh.
Yeah.
Tracy Kushker, and today we're talking about conversation.
Yeah, the interesting
the
thing is, it's the buzz. So what we thought we would do is spend our last day having these random topics, things that were our favorite things.
Yeah.
But then also in the process of coming up with some random topics, we discovered that there are, in fact, random conversation starter generators online that you can get. If you're really having trouble finding meaningful conversation, you can just Google meaningful conversation.
Sure. And when we are here, we always have a topic and we're trying to stay on track. For the last show, it would just be fun to just chat about stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And we're all heading into the holiday season where there's a lot of social time. And for some people, that's a little bit of a challenge. So these conversation starters are just kind of a fun way to...
Yeah. And actually, I mean, sometimes we just need reminding that there's other ways to start a conversation besides you look nice.
Yes. And it is an art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, conversation.
And you don't want a whole evening to go by when you're spending time with friends and family and all you talked about was the weather.
Yeah, or worrying about what I should have said that or shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, right. Or that here's and listening to one guy complain about his work all day.
Or gossiping about other people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is like how to have a meaningful conversation with family and friends over the holidays.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, there's this little thing about... you know how when you see a little girl and she's wearing a cute little dress and really sparkly shoes and has, you know, beautiful little curls in her hair, that's the first thing we say, right?
Is, you look so pretty.
You look so pretty. Oh, I love your shoes. Oh, your dress is so nice. Oh, you have the most beautiful hair. Well, guess what? We're not supposed to do that anymore because it implies that she's valued for how she looks.
How pretty.
Yes.
I used to say that. I love your shoes because I love those shoes. Yeah. Now I say, I bet you love to read books.
Yeah.
And that changes the conversation.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like having a few tools in your pocket that you can say, you can just pull out, like, for a certain age group. And apparently even just asking a kid, like, so how old are you? And they're like, 4. Well, so what does a 4-year-old like to do these days?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, right? That'll open up whatever conversation that they want to start with you.
I often ask them, so do you have a job? No, I don't, silly. Oh, I just thought you had a job.
My job is being a kid.
That's what we do that with strangers. What do you do for a living?
That's true. So what do you do? I know. I don't like it when I get asked that. It's like, what do you mean, what do I do? Like, well, I get up in the morning.
What don't I do?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Would you like me to list out my day?
That
sit
I
down.
Do. I also do that.
Yeah.
And that.
Maybe it comes from an era where we used to just do one thing.
Perhaps.
Or that especially men had one career. What do? I'm a dentist. And then that's it. That's their identity. But yeah, now we are very complex beings. We often have multiple things going on. So our engineer's walking back and forth here trying to figure out what the buzz is. Anyway, we're just going to keep talking. Okay. It might be because we have no door.
Oh, right. It's the moon. It's the echo.
There might be
a... Could that be? You know how when there's the radio on in the lobby, and you have on CBC and people are so excited to hear their own voice,
yeah.
They leave the radio on and then leave that buzz?
It's not that. It's not that. Okay.
I always laugh. Can you please turn the radio down? How can you talk and listen? medicine?
I don't know. You can't. We can't. I mean, you just talk, and it's rattling around inside your head. That's
exactly.
How you listen.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can always listen to the podcast later if you really want to hear your voice. Yeah, that's true.
But in the old days, before podcast, that was it. You're live.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody had to record it for you with the cassette tape. Yeah.
Play
record. Yes.
Right?
And make sure you press them at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember just standing by? Like yes. A DJ would say, and next up is whatever. Parachute Club or.
Yeah.
Press the
REO Speedwagon.
Yes.
Click.
Exactly.
And then it meant really for us, that was illegal downloading technically, right? We weren't supposed to do that.
Illegal downloaders.
Yeah. Hey, I just got a text from Jeanette.
Yeah.
It says Dan is on his way.
Oh, excellent.
So obviously somebody's listening and saying, there's a problem.
Coming.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep going. And then if the buzz disappears, we're having a conversation.
About conversation.
Yes. Okay. So one of the first conversation starters I'm going to generate a new one here because I'm on conversationstarters.com. Okay. If you had one superpower, what would it be?
I think the ability to hear is really well.
Oh, why?
Because I've often thought, I wonder what's going on in that room.
Huh.
So, or in that meeting, or I would have been a fly on the wall, right? I guess, I don't know, can that be a super...
Well, it's only...
a fly on the wall?
Well, yeah, except that nowadays you can do that just with some spyware.
Oh, I guess I could do that. Well,
I know, but...
I just find that sometimes there's I find the story behind the story way more interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, it's true. I guess, like, when you know the
or
whole...
Or invisibility, then I could do both.
Yeah. Invisibility
then I'd have
would
be to
nice.
Be there.
And you can only... You're only one person. Yeah. I know. You've got lots of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that kind of creepy?
It's not creepy. I think you're...
Just to shine a light
on... You search for truth.
Absolutely.
And you want to know
all
the stories.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm skeptical or curious or I'm not sure.
Okay. Skeptical, curious. Well, I guess, And I'm not, I don't think that's creepy.
No?
No. Oh, hey. I think it came back. It went away for a second and then it came back. Is it because of Louise's mic?
Is it because of me? Or radioactive? Oh, maybe I already have a superpower. What about you? What would be your superpower? Oh, cool. Really? Right. You just want it like a bird. Right. Well, you should take those writing lessons. Of course I can. I can imagine you doing anything. Oh, you're so brave. Oh, yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. Well, that's the thing about flight. You know, we're not supposed to be able to fly. We're not made to fly. And that's why people are so cranky at the airport. Because we don't actually know it, but we're having terrible anxiety attacks.
That makes sense.
That's why we're rude and pushy and... steal all the overhead compartment bins, space, you know?
But you're right. I mean, we do all sorts of other things. Like, we're all over the planet. Mm-hmm. We swim and we scuba dive and we climb mountains. Mm-hmm. Like, we're everywhere. So we shouldn't probably be flying and using up that space, too.
No.
Other creatures need space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They need
space. Well, I mean,
that's
just we weren't designed to fly. So
yeah.
The idea of flight is just a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's also a very scary thing.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. That's our superpower. Next topic, random generator. What is your favorite pizza topping?
Oh. Yeah. I think proper mozzarella.
Oh, proper mozzarella.
Yeah.
Like the real from Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mozzarella.
Yeah.
Is there a kind you
can
get here? No, go ahead. Pick a one. There's no rules.
Okay, you can get it here.
Like real?
Like mozzarella or whatever. I think you can. Well, isn't there a new cheese shop?
There is a new cheese shop.
Shameless plug. Well, I guess the crust, too. I don't know. It's not really pizza. It has to be a topping.
Yeah, a topping.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so indecisive. Yeah, if I had to pick, I'd say proper mozzarella.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, when we were in Italy, I like to drop that once in a while, we discovered that focaccia, in fact, is more like what we like, is what we call pizza.
Oh, okay.
And what we found over there is that there's really no sauce. Like, it's just olive oil as a base. And then it's always...
Isn't that puffy, though? It has yeast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's totally, like, raised up. The focaccia is more
and
like
pizza
what...
pizza crust has yeast, too.
Well, but pizza there is, like,
it's
so tiny.
Yeah, it's
super thin and basically
like
just... Yeah, just cheese. So what we were eating here, what we were making at home, was really focaccia.
Mm-hmm.
And but what we discovered there was that their focaccia doesn't have like a pizza sauce. We were using pesto as our sauce, but so we use less sauce now and more roasted things.
Oh, lovely! You know what I do is I put oil and sauce and dip it.
Oh yeah, that's good too. Actually, pretty much like
I
you can
really
do
good.
Anything with focaccia and be happy.
I can really get focaccia recipe.
Oh, really?
It's foolproof.
Oh, nice.
And I'm a fool. So.
Excellent.
I can do it. Anybody can do it.
Okay, got it. All right, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Would you rather be the most popular kid in school or the smartest kid in school?
Oh, smartest.
I kind of figured that.
I'm not very good at being popular. That's work.
Popular.
Popular.
Yeah. It is a lot of work. It's a huge amount of stress. And you need followers if you're going to be popular. So you got to be basically either controlling them with fear or controlling them with kindness.
It's kind of like a false leadership, right? Because you can't be a leader unless you have followers. If you only have followers because you're popular, then I would always have this sort of existential crisis. Why am I so popular? Why am I so popular? I'm a fraud. I'm an imposter, right? Whereas if I was just smart, I'd do stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Do my own business, I guess. I don't know. What about you?
Well, I would definitely choose smart because that would be like the rest of your life actually is a
popular.
I don't know. That would be crazy because it's.
Well, maybe it depends how old you are. Like if you're 14 or 16. Maybe if I was 16, I would have said I want to be more popular.
You know that there's.
I don't think so.
No. And there's, I don't know, like all the really great people in the world, the great thinkers, the great inventors, the great, you know, artists, have all been very unpopular in school.
Like owners.
Yeah. Because they don't fit into the big crowd, because they do think differently, and that's what makes them innovative and you know, wonderful. So I would never choose to be one of the crowd that I would be the leader of the one of the crowd.
Yeah, no.
That would be very common.
No.
Being weird is okay.
Absolutely.
I've always told my kids
that. I have this great t-shirt that says different isn't wrong.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. Okay, here you go.
Yes.
What qualities do you value most in a friend? I know, that's deep.
Deep. Ability to laugh, honestly.
Yeah.
My best friends are the ones that I can, like, have a proper, I'm laughing so hard, I'm making my pants.
Yeah.
Kind of laughter. And that only comes from trust and, you know, resilience and being able to laugh about the most inappropriate, terrible things that have happened in your life. And, like, to be totally vulnerable to cry, laughing, you know.
Yeah.
And to snort. So if I can snort when I'm talking to you, chances are we're good friends.
I think that's reasonable. If you can make inappropriate noises while laughing and nobody thinks
and
that's
nobody,
awful, or you're not embarrassed by it, then
if you can have a face fart, then you're close to that person.
I've never heard it called that.
Oh my God. See my conversations too? Look at us, good friends.
I'm so glad I fell into that category.
Please don't make me start.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, plus I have a cold, so I'm really struggling here. Alright.
Alright.
Next question.
Next question. Oh my gosh. What's the first thing you notice about a guy or a girl? What's the first thing you notice about a person? Not whether or not they're tears coming out of their eyes from laughing.
I have a thing for hands.
Oh.
My grandma had beautiful hands. And
yeah.
So when I meet someone new, I always look at their hands and I think, are those good hands? It's weird.
Well, maybe it's a good weird. I think that there's just qualities that you admire in people in
like
general.
Strong hands or.
And if that's what you notice
first.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not like, oh, good hand. It's kind of my first go-to is like, there's something about your hands.
Yeah, probably says a lot about you.
Yeah, it's your way to reach out.
Yeah.
Right? If you didn't have hands, you couldn't be bumping into each other all the time.
Yeah, and it shows what you do.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like all the different things you do.
Exactly. Oh, no.
It's back.
I know.
Okay. Well,
it was my Bluetooth, which is on.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn my phone off because I normally have my phone off in the show, and then I use it for the conversation starter. So
I'm going to turn my Wi-Fi off.
Okay.
No. Still nothing. Darn it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right. Headphones off. Okay. So the last question was,
if you knew,
what do you notice first about people?
What do you notice first about people? Well, I guess that's a really hard one because I guess I like it changes. It's not one thing with me, but I do notice if people look at me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like if they give me eye contact right away, mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means if they don't. That's something I notice. Like after a conversation, I'll think to myself, that person didn't even look at me.
Didn't even look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So connection.
Yeah. Maybe there's
the eyes are the mirror to the soul.
Yeah. But I think maybe that's just the whole meaningful connection piece. Like if I think, were they really listening? Was I really listening? Right? Like that's kind of how I measure that. So maybe that's why.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And so the next question, I'll ask you first.
Okay.
Okay. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do?
Oh, man. That's changed so many times throughout my life. But I remember going through this exercise, like if you could take a pill and you couldn't fail, what would you do? And I would choose something really great and artistic, right? Like I would say, oh, I'd become a plein air painter and travel the world and just paint where I go.
So many things.
I know, but actually now that I'm getting to the age that I am, I kind of feel like I want to do something that's meaningful and has legacy, right? And just because we're facing this horrific crisis in climate change and we also have our indigenous rights issues and reconciliation, I feel like there's got to be something.
You could fix that.
Yeah, I would fix that. I would work only at things that would heal all of that. Because there's, first of all, I think that the indigenous cultures that are in Canada have so much knowledge. We could fix so many problems that we have if we actually followed their cultural guidance. But of course, you know, we're socialized with a very European guidance system, so
it's hard to deprogram all that.
Exactly. So that's what I would just change all of our policy to actually be indigenous cultural policy, and then we would have to just go forward from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big though, isn't it? Like that would be a big thing. I have to get in.
You can't do that over the weekend.
No. I wouldn't be a weekend warrior situation.
Oh, there's so many things if I knew I couldn't fail. So professionally, I'd start a magazine, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I still think there's space for that.
Yeah?
If it were the right kind. And no ads.
No ads in a magazine.
Yeah.
But you don't think that print media is just starting to kind of, like we've hit peak magazine, and because I've heard that some significant magazine names are just going online.
Well, because the model is wrong. I still think there's a place for the printed periodical.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's because
based on the right kind of content.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the question. That's what I would do. I would do lots of personally, ethically, I would try to cure addiction, you know? If I could make a pill that would make all that pain go away for those people.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm still stuck on the magazine.
Okay.
That would be so meaningful because of the journalistic integrity that you would be able to uphold.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Because
it wouldn't be all, like, super serious. It would also be fun.
Yeah.
And connect people. You know, something that people would keep and go, oh, let's go see what that's about.
So it's like a magazine full of meaningful conversations.
Yes, pretty much.
I like it.
Who knows? I mean, if I had like more money than I needed, which was never going to happen, that I would probably do that. And most magazines are philanthropic, like it's just a wealthy person's point of view.
Somebody is passionate about.
Yes, I mean, the New Yorkers, I don't think is ever going to die, seriously.
Yeah. I love I love the whole story of the New Yorker. Like, it is fabulous that all these writers just got together and said,
yeah,
we need a format.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that can represent.
Yeah.
Any
so it's like
kind of
art from the ground up.
Yeah. But then I would also, you know, move to Europe. I would be a blogger. I would have, you know, whatever. I did all kinds of things. I would do, but that's more fantasy. If I knew I couldn't fail, I would start amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I think we have to move.
Shouldn't we? No, right.
Should
away.
We move right now?
Okay.
So we're going to
right
just
now.
Move. Everybody just take
do you
want to
go and I'll keep talking while you're set up and then you can talk?
Okay.
Okay, I'll just do a play by play.
Okay,
right, just take
ready to
go.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I can't hear anything, but that's fine. Probably because our microphones are not connected or our headphones are not connected. Okay, I am ready for the next generation of conversation starter. If you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready.
It is. What is your ideal way to celebrate your birthday?
Oh, easy.
What?
I throw the party. I make the cake. I buy the gifts.
Oh.
And I thank you for putting up with me for another year. I think we have birthdays all backwards. I really do.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's actually super sweet.
Well,
I would be in for that birthday party.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Well, it makes sense because
then you get to pick.
Yeah.
For one, because I'm kind of a control freak and I like to know, like, okay, what's the cake? What's it going to be made of? What's the food going to be? Who's coming?
Yeah.
Right?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to have your ideal birthday pretty much every year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want to have a way to celebrate
for sure.
The things that you like.
And it's a party where people sort of feel like, oh, crap, it's her birthday. I guess I better go. Right? As opposed to just a dinner party where you can slough it off really tired. Maybe next time. Right? It's my birthday.
Yeah.
You're going to show up. Yeah. Anyway.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I like to go away, I guess. Like,
Sure.
I like to do a thing, but I like to not be responsible for doing the thing.
Yes.
I don't want to cook.
No.
I don't want to clean up.
No.
I want to do something different than my usual every day is the thing. So, yeah. I like to kind of do the, maybe we go overnight and do the staycation in a local hotel or
lovely.
Something. Mm-hmm. Did you just turn my headphones way up?
I did. No, I turned. Oh, I see. I'm turning up when I should be turning down. We're building the airplane as we fly it.
Yes. This is really fun being in this studio. It's weird. Uh-oh. There went my vocals.
There we go.
Figure
okay.
this
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. No buzz, but yeah.
No
We're
buzz.
Back.
We're just having some fun with the new
Thank you,
format.
Creative problem solvers.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good solution. We should have thought of that in the beginning to come over here. All right. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
What's one of your worst habits?
Oh, God. So
yeah.
many.
So many.
I am so deeply flawed.
So many
bad
habits.
I do.
You do not.
Yeah. You know, I would say I procrastinate.
Well, that's probably
I put off the
everybody's.
Important things and I replace it with like, oh, I can't do that because I need to empty the dishwasher.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or I need to. Yeah.
There's always something else.
Right. I need to finish my to-do list.
Yeah.
So I sort of fuss about my to-do list. And So professionally, yes. That's my worst habit.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also have a terrible habit of chewing the inside of my lip.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And I really...
Well, if that's your worst personal habit, good job.
I also notice when other people have that habit.
Do you?
I do, because I'm looking at them going, hey, you have the same bad habit
yeah.
that I do. We should start a group.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. I wish.
Yeah,
I
just put stuff off.
Yeah.
And if I didn't put stuff off, I'd be further ahead. And then
but
I'm mad at myself
kind of,
for not being further ahead. Or
isn't that very normal? The human condition, procrastination is just part
yeah.
of everyone's.
Yeah.
And that's because we care less about future self than we do about right now self, right?
Like, but when you're in a creative field, you need scarcity to force the problem to solve.
Yeah. And
right?
deadlines.
Deadlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I kind of feed that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I didn't have deadlines, I don't know what would get accomplished. Because there's always something else.
Mm-hmm.
I could be knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've started to develop strategies like, okay, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes on this thing that I'm procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can say I spent 5 minutes. But then usually it turns into 15 or 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's kind of, oh, there, it's done. Well, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Right?
You did the Hudson Bay
yeah.
start.
Yeah. Putting
putting stuff off, you know, personally, professionally, health-wise, skill-wise. Like, we could all do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and I always, I have my list, right, at work, all my things, and I just tick them off as I get through. And there are some pages where I flip the page and I have to put forward previous week's list items, and there's some of those things that just end up on the list. They never get done. Yeah. And it's the same thing, though. If I just spent 5 minutes working on that one thing, it would probably turn into half an hour and I'd get done.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But we do this to ourselves.
We do.
It's just one of those things. Okay, next one. What was the last movie you saw?
Like, in a theater?
Yeah.
Oh. One of the Star Wars ones?
How many years ago are we talking here?
Well, when they brought the Millennium Falcon back.
What was that one?
2016? 2015? I don't know.
Is that the last movie?
Yeah, I don't go to the movies very often.
Oh, wow. Huh. I actually go a lot.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw Bohemian Rhapsody twice. And then...
Oh, I hear it was spectacular.
It was awesome. And it really... I mean, I'm sure Queen is going to have another big, download of tunes and everything. Because you kind of forget how their awesome really amazing music, right? And it's not just Bohemian Rhapsody, which, of course, hit the charts three different times.
That's right.
Over the last 40 years. But it's also all their other... super cool songs that you just forget.
Yes. And the stories.
And then my daughter, who downloaded a bunch of Queen music after seeing the movie, she was playing it. She picked me up from work the other day. She's playing it in her car and we're bopping. And all of a sudden, I Want to Ride My Bicycle comes on. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about this song.
Yes.
It was just so fun. I was singing all the words.
No, I meant to go, but then I hear maybe it's a bit much for my younger one. So, and we had said we'd take him to the movies. So I said, you can see Ralph Breaks the Internet instead. Wait a while until you see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, it was pretty good. It was not like there was no sex and drugs and horribleness. It was pretty lame.
Lame.
It was pretty laid back.
Laid back.
In terms
not
of
lame.
Not laid lame. Back, yeah. So not lame. Yeah. It was so good.
And it's still, well, if you're listening to this live, I think it's still on tonight.
I think it is.
And Thursday night.
Yeah. At the Classic for only $5.
They held it over because it's that good.
I know. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I love that sometimes things come back because when you want to see it in theater. And we saw Fantastic Beasts 2 in theater too. And that's not because I'm super Harry Potter fan, but I just really want to see those things on the big screen.
Yeah. I prefer the small screen. I don't know.
Ah.
It depends on the movie. Like if it's an epic landscape,
right?
You know, all of that.
Right.
And I feel like there are big screen movies and there are just normal screen movies.
Yeah. Normal screen movies.
Yeah. So I missed it. What's the next question?
The next question is, what's the last photo you took on your phone?
Oh, probably uber boring. Let's see.
Uber boring. Not just boring. Uber boring.
Actually, it was a design. I screenshot it, and it's a Christmas tree one way and then a menorah the other way. It's quite clever.
Oh, yeah, neat. Oh, cool.
Right?
That is cool.
That's really good design. Simple, straightforward, does the trick.
And basically it says, happy midwinter ritual.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Yeah. And then I went to the canoe... United Church service with music on Sunday and took a few pictures of the song sheet because I'm like, oh, those are the words to that song. I never knew that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it was good. So I use that. My phone, it's not pictures so much as I'm recording. I need to remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I do the same thing, except I think...
on my grocery list.
Yeah, I do that too. Mm-hmm. My last few pictures are what I took up at Jackson School during the art class because I went up there to talk to the kids about the youth exhibition coming up next March. And so I took some pictures of them working. Mm-hmm. So I got pictures of their hands doing watercolors.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, how peaceful.
And then a couple of collages. I think this one kid was just collecting a whole bunch of collage materials.
Cool.
And it just looked neat in a pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the kind of things I think about when I'm preparing for an exhibition. I think about images that we can use for publicity, maybe even the poster, that aren't the actual art themselves.
I see. And this is the youth show is coming in.
Yeah, March, April of 2019.
Okay.
So for the kids, they have to register in mid-February.
Okay.
So it's not that far away.
No.
It's very close.
Yeah, they get on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know what it's like. They're thinking only about what's today.
Yeah.
And so I have to go and poke.
For sure. Good for you.
Yeah. Next one. Do you have any pets?
No.
You've never had, have you ever, oh, I don't remember you ever having a pet.
A rabbit once when I was little, and it was attacked by a cat, so cats are off the team. And we had a beagle once when I was a teenager, and it was an epic disaster. So no, I don't have any pets.
Wow. Yeah. You've got history with these little domesticated creatures.
Yeah, like I have trouble managing myself. Never mind. You know what I mean? That's always been my argument. Like, well, when there's time for a pet or room for a pet or...
Huh.
We'll have a pet. But, and I know kids need pets, and, but it's just never been my thing.
Well, it's okay. You don't have to always be thinking like kids need a pet because like pets are creatures too. I kind of feel like they need...
You go away and you have to ask people to take care of your pet. It's just too much for me. I can't.
Because you are kind of adopting them into your family.
Yes.
You have to give them as much attention as, you know, as other living creatures. Mm-hmm. They are living creatures. Mm-hmm. So I get it. If you're not totally in, that's a good decision
like
to not have them.
I feel like it's over and above your basic responsibilities.
Yeah.
And if I, unless and until I feel like I'm at least meeting those obligations, I won't get a pet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the seven roles thing, right? Like, you know that you can do seven roles well. And right now you are mom and wife and, and designer and counselor and, right? Like, as you start adding those up and you, if
pet
you can't
owner's not my
fit
thing.
Another
I'd,
one in.
I'd be stressed out. Are they okay? Are they like, no, I'm just, I don't, my anxiety level's too high to actually worry about a thing that can't say to me, it's fine, Louise, I'm okay. You know?
It's actually why I like cats.
Oh, really?
Rather than dogs, because they're really, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Just
I don't need you.
Leave me be.
Is there some food at the end of the day? That's really all I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we do. We have kids.
And yet I value, like, I know it's a meaningful, important experience for so many families. And most of my friends have pets, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah. And I've always been a believer that a pet has to find you.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't go to places to get a pet.
No. Like, they come and find you?
Yeah. A pet will find us. And we do have two kitties. One of them found us downtown.
Aww.
As a kitten. And the other one came to us because a friend had to go into assisted living.
Oh, okay. Right?
And so it's like, well, I'm not, it's not like I'm going out searching. They, they find me and I'm fine with that and I'll be here for them, but I'm not running out there going, I need cats.
Yeah.
Like I know some people do. They need small furry animals.
It's companionship. No question.
Yeah. I don't think I need that. I've got a family. I'm good. Mm-hmm. But I do kind of like, every once in a while, it just blows my mind though. I'm looking around going, oh my gosh, there's a wild animal living in my house, like sitting right there on my bed. That's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
We are weird as a species.
Well, that's for sure.
Okay. How long does it take for you to get ready in the morning?
Oh, depends on the morning. I don't know. 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it's, I'm kind of a no fuss.
No fuss, no mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I know I actually can't even imagine an investment of time every morning. I already find it kind of a nuisance that I have to shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh,
really?
It takes so long.
Really?
Can't I just go out like this?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't, I'm probably the same. Like once I've actually showered, it's a less than 10 minutes.
But were you like that when you were a teenager?
You know, I never was a really big, like sit
neither.
In front of the mirror for half an hour kind of girl.
Oh, my girlfriends would drive me crazy. Like seriously, an hour?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm
we're going to the mall.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And I'd be sitting there and waiting.
And
thank goodness. Maybe that's why I read more books.
Yeah, I used to sit on the edge of the bathtub and watch them put their makeup on. I'm like, oh, can I go already?
Thank goodness I've never been that kind of person.
Not
all the
either.
Lost times.
Ugh.
I feel like lost time in lineups is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine spending an hour doing your makeup every day?
No.
Fight the patriarchy. If you could choose any era to live in, what would it be? I know this is a
you
tough one.
You go first.
Well, I think it's this one.
Okay.
Because every time I think about that, I think, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to live in this time? Wouldn't it be nice? No, you know what? Women had no rights. Women have so little ability to move around, to express themselves, to have careers, to have rights at all in every other era of our history except... You know, pretty much since the 60s.
For sure. But you could have influenced the time to make it have happened faster.
Maybe. Maybe if I also took that anti-failure pill, then I could do
that.
There
you go, right?
Combine the two things.
I think maybe the 20s. I don't know why. Because the outfits were so nice.
Fashion.
Or I think it would have been fun to be a mom in the 70s.
Yeah?
Because there was no expectation that you... you could just be a mom.
Yeah, you could let them play with the dry cleaner bags. Yeah,
I mean, I know that sounds so counterintuitive.
No seat belts.
But I
you could feed them
would
garbage.
Have loved to just have been a mom, right? And I never really got that chance because I was self-employed. I didn't have any. I had no maternity leave, nothing. Like, it's just been go, go, go.
Yeah.
And I think about, I see pictures of my mom in the 70s, and I think, I probably would have been okay.
Yeah.
Right? There were neighborhoods. There were other moms in the neighborhood. Like, it would have been a really nice, cool thing to experience.
Yeah.
Kids are at school. The moms play bridge. Like, I know I'm totally romanticizing it. I'm sure it was more complicated than that. But also, the outfits were cool.
Yeah. But
and
you know what?
Vibrant, you know, like, lots of yellow and orange. And
yeah. And it was, a, I mean, it's a, of course, it was a different time. But also, I think the expectations on every individual in a family were less. In that time,
like and you weren't I feel expected. Like neighborhoods were stronger because there was like the mom squad, you know.
Yeah, because there was daytime connection.
Yes.
Yeah,
and you would come home for. I mean, I never did. Sometimes I did, but when I was really little, but not later on. But coming home for lunch, like think about that.
Yeah, I know. Nobody does that anymore. Mm. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Well, I do think that we've lost the neighborhood sort of connection piece, and the Halloween thing is a big part of that. You know, like. I do appreciate that organizations like the Downtown Association and the malls do a Halloween thing, but I think because the kids do that, then people don't go out in their neighborhoods.
Right.
And the neighborhood connection piece, we've lost so much of it that Halloween was one of the only times where you actually walked up to your neighbor's door.
Yeah, so we sort of super overindulged, don't we?
Yeah.
It's huge decorations and it's crazy.
Yeah, but then we don't even go door to door.
My parents never decorated for. Oh, you put the pumpkin out so that the kids knew there's candy there.
Yeah.
No pumpkin, no candy. Move on.
Yeah. Right?
But we would all go together. And I often think, like when I was little, I don't think I ever thought about, I wonder what my mom's doing. Because it's all about me, right? You're self-centered. You're running in the woods or going, you know, to the store or riding your bike or, you know, hanging out at your friend's house. And I would think, well, what did you guys do all day? Like, I don't ever remember. And she's like, you don't think we were watching you? And I'm like, well, it just never occurred to me. Like, we were there the whole time.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was this little independent being, you know,
wild.
Running havoc in the neighborhood.
Yeah, free range.
Running wild, yeah. And the only rule was, you know, if you need to pee or eat, come home.
Yeah.
You don't take advantage of your neighbors that way.
Mm-hmm.
Same rule. You can't.
Come home before dark.
Yeah. And with porch light, in you go.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Mm-hmm. But they were there. You're right.
Totally. She just laughs like, what do you think I was doing? I'm like, I really don't know.
Just in my world. It's okay. Okay, here's another one. But this is weird for you because you already teach at the college.
Oh.
If you were asked to teach a class, what class would you teach? So pick something else.
Hmm.
Some other amazing skill that you have that you think you would like to teach other people.
Oh, I don't know. The more you teach, the feel like the less you really know.
I know teaching a class is kind of like a cooperative learning situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You're only there as a guide for the most part, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. That's a tough one.
You have, like, you're teaching marketing and business right now, mm-hmm. right? And so the thing is that you have all of these different skills that can still come under that heading somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. You've got that latitude.
I mean, I wish I were good enough at something to teach something else, like sewing or painting or pottery, or, right? But I'm not there.
I can't actually honestly think of a thing I would want to teach. I mean,
well,
I
it's probably because you already teach and I already teach.
Maybe.
It's kind of like, meh, it's not all this crap. It's to be not. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Because, well, first of all, there's a lot of responsibility to make sure that, you know, you're doing something that everybody can get excited about.
Yes.
And not everybody can get excited about it all the time.
No.
So it's actually quite stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I try to approach it differently.
It's not as glamorous as you might think.
No.
Next question.
If you had to give yourself a new name, what name would you pick?
Oh man, that is cool.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a tough one because, you know, like people with really unique names say it's terrible because nobody remembers your
name.
And
nobody can spell my name and nobody can.
Yeah. But if you have a traditional name, you say, oh, my name is boring.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a Natalie. Like I just thought Natalie's a way cooler name. Natalie with an H.
Huh. Natalie.
Yeah, but not anymore.
So now what? Now who are you?
Well, I like who I am. I like
Louise.
My name.
Yeah.
I didn't like it when I was little because there were so many of us. Like, there were five Louises in my grade five class.
Really?
Five of us.
Holy. See, I never really had that problem.
Yeah.
Until I was in university. There were three Tracys my class at university in my faculty.
But here there aren't that many Louises, so I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how many. I only know one other Louise.
See?
And I know lots of people. So you have a unique name now.
It was very big in the 60s in Quebec to name your kid.
Okay. Well, you know, I've thought about that because I have had a love-hate relationship with my name for all my life, but I've never really found another name that I thought what I would prefer to be. Mm-hmm. And except when James started calling me Trixie.
Aww.
I kind of liked that.
Nice.
I thought I could be Trixie. Yeah. I could totally be Trixie. But then in Lord of the Rings, that's what Gollum says about, you know, his alter ego. You're Trixie.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. Now I think of that. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts. Well, well, well. Speaking of fun conversations to be had.
Yeah, because
I don't know if our listeners know this, but one of Tracy's favorite comedic troupes is...
Kids in the Hall.
Squish your head.
I crush your head.
I crush your head. Anyway, it turns out they'll be writing, or maybe, I don't know if Santa's listening, but there's a new biography coming out about the whole bunch of them.
Ooh, it's so exciting.
Called The Kids in the Hall, One Dumb Guy. The story of possibly the greatest comedy troupe, get this, of all kind, and Canada's greatest world citizens, the Kids in the Hall.
They self-titled that, didn't they?
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are so amazing. And you know what else? They were so ahead of their time.
Oh, my goodness.
All of their skits are so relevant right now.
I know.
Like, you could, it's classic stuff. You could just keep playing them probably for now in the next 100 years and it would still be relevant.
Absolutely. Oh, and the Ford is by Seth Meyers, who was also equally funny.
Yes. Oh, I love Kids in the Hall so much.
Yes.
I was so sad when it went off Netflix because my kids were just starting to get into it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a rip.
Yeah.
Our favorite skit of all time is the I Don't Know How to Play the Piano.
Right.
But you seen that one?
Yes, yes, yes. And we've talked about that on this show before.
Yeah. And I never took the time to learn. Songwriting is not my forte.
Quite fond of the chicken lady. I don't know why.
Oh, she's so wild.
Mm-hmm. And my head weighs 12 pounds. Or where's my pen?
My pen.
So that the Kids in the Hall are proof that you can start a conversation about, and I really mean this, anything.
Yes, it's true.
Yes.
And there's, I think one of the
so
things.
So don't ever feel like, oh my God, I went out and there was nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Think about the Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's one of the things, if you find that you have something really strange and offbeat in common with somebody.
Yeah.
You can have a 5-hour conversation
Absolutely.
About that thing.
About the most ridiculous things.
Yeah. So that's why you have to open up these avenues. Like, you just never know what you have in common with someone that's so bizarre that you think nobody else
no
in the world.
No way. I know, right? Yeah. And I think that's what I loved about working in a magazine is we'd have the most amazing conversations every day about the most ridiculous things. And it was just such a meaningful, deep, fun, creative way to spend a day.
Yeah.
Is it going to make any money? Don't matter, because I can't fail, right?
That's right.
According to this game.
It's what it's like, too, having new staff at the Arts Center that, getting to know each other. At first, you know, the first month or so, you're just trying to train them and trying to help them understand all the stuff we do, and this is how we did. But then as you start to get more comfortable and everybody's comfortable in their job, you start to actually get to know each other, and you discover these crazy things you have in common. It's amazing. It's so much fun. God, we laugh a lot.
Yeah, and I think we discount how important the informal is in our working relationships and our family relationships. We're always so formal. Here's the agenda, and this is what we talk about, and right? But it's the things that happen off the agenda and, you know, at the coffee shops, in the lunchroom. That's the thing that really builds
So
connection.
What's it, if you don't mind me asking, what's it like at the in-camera sessions for council? Like, do you still have to follow all of the formalities?
Oh, yeah, it's super formal.
So it's all the same where you have to touch a button and then the mayor
recognizes
you?
Oh, no, there's no buttons, but you have to be recognized.
Yeah.
And you still speak. through the chair, your worship, through you to staff, right?
Right.
But that's all I can tell you about in camera. I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, no, no.
But it's the absolute same
structure.
Process. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Because I kind of thought it would be so beneficial for council to have opportunities to have these.
But if we need to talk about a topic, it's typically the counselors who are interested and members of staff and community members who will come together. Like the housing task force will talk about housing and
right. The
committees, right? So they are more formal, but you know, every now and then there is an opportunity to just sit and have a meeting and say, okay, what's the outcome we seek here?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It just, you know,
but council is not to meet separately behind closed doors with that and make any decisions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would totally understand that. But just being able
outside the rules.
Yeah. But just being able to have these open conversations.
Yes.
Right. And seeing, especially because you're a group of people who've come together with this very diverse set of experiences, mm-hmm. that where's the chance to get to know each other mm-hmm. and understand where your strengths and skills and everything
yeah.
are.
And when you spend that much time together, you sort of build those relationships and they're my colleagues, but they're also my friends and I know their story and I care about them. And
so it comes out eventually.
Anyway, oh yeah, right? For sure.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah. I think that's another thing about the relationship.
And I mean, conferences, like there's the formal part and then there's evening meetings and dinners and receptions. And that's where you really kind of get to.
Right.
I mean, I know so many counselors now from so many other places and they're all like super awesome mm-hmm. and they just care about how do we make this better?
Yeah.
And it usually starts with the conversation.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we anticipate that now we have helped lots of people be able to start
yes.
a conversation.
Yes. Conversationstarter.com.
Okay. I'm going to, I'm going to go back to my conversationstarters.com.
Okay.
Here's one.
Oh, okay.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
The craziest thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Paris on a whim and got locked in the Louvre.
Oh, that's an mm-hmm. awesome story.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't...
Because you could have been mistaken for the person
who
stole a painting.
I could have been. Did you steal a painting? They said to me, I said, no. He said, well, then just wait. You will go home soon. I didn't go. Like, I mean, I was finished grad school. I had 2 weeks before I started my internship at the magazine. And I thought, I might never get to go away ever again. So I scraped together what was left in my bank account, bought a ticket, flew to Paris, and like I had no money, nothing. Stayed in a hostel, ate at the grocery store, hung out at the National Archives because I was a master's student, so I could go and look at all these crazy books and stuff. And went to the Louvre because it was free and packed, and that's when the theft happened. And I came home and I didn't tell anybody. I told Dave, my boyfriend, husband now, and my roommate, Kathy. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my parents. Nothing. I just went.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. How about you?
I don't even know. Nothing compares to that. I don't know. I've never had a... Maybe... Yeah, I did. I went skydiving once.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that was... I mean, I have to admit, it was...
Oh, because you like to fly.
Yeah. And it was a terrifying ordeal. And actually, you had to crawl out onto the wing. And then you had to choose to let go.
Wow.
And that was hard.
Oh, my goodness.
To actually let go and trust that this thing was going to make you float to the ground. But, yeah. So that probably...
Oh, I so admire that. I could never do it.
Oh.
Ever, ever, ever.
Well, I was younger. I might not do it now.
Wow.
I just want to be able to fly without danger. That's my thing.
No danger.
I need wings.
Well, then you need the superhero power and the never fail power.
Yeah.
At once, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe together. The never fail could be a power.
Maybe.
Although we'd probably wreak havoc if you could do whatever you want and never worry about failing.
I can't even imagine what society would look like. Ugh. Yeah, maybe not. Okay, yeah. Here's another one. What is your favorite hangout spot?
Hmm.
I know what you're going to say. Your couch.
Not really. I like to sit in my bed and read and watch cooking shows and just like cocoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With my jammies. With your best blankets.
Yes.
And, yeah.
A little lamp and flip through magazines and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If someone bring me coffee and bonbons, I might never leave.
That would be, that would be a superpower. Mm-hmm. Is to have an endless supply of what you need
while
you're in your favorite hangout spot.
Yeah, that or sitting on a rock and North Bay on Lake Nipissing with my feet in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my special place.
I do like sitting on the beach. Mm-hmm. I do like sitting on Mara Lakes beach. It's so clean and lovely. And just on those hot days where you just go, basically you sit on the beach and then you get too hot and you go for a swim and then you get cold and you come back out and you sit on the beach till you get too hot and then you go back in and swim. It's just an endless cycle. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like it's the most meditative, relaxing thing I think that I experience.
Lovely.
Yeah. That would be my favorite hangout spot. It's too bad I can't do it year round.
No.
Yeah.
Well, not here.
If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life,
oh my goodness,
what would it be?
Something orange.
Of course.
Cheese or oranges or...
Cheese. Yes. Cheese is life. I don't know. That would be a tough one because...
It would probably be bad to eat only cheese, but well, we I have guess to, oranges.
We have to pull out the health aspect out of this question. So if only one food was going to sustain you, what would it be? Like the most delicious food?
Well, cheese is the most delicious, but orange is the most practical.
Try to not be practical.
I know. It's hard for me. I'm always trying to, okay, what's the best outcome here? I'm just going to go with something orange. Okay. Popsicles, orange popsicles.
Okay.
Big favorite.
Yeah.
That's dairy and liquid and yeah.
Yeah. You could get a lot in a popsicle.
Ooh, if you could put frozen brie in an orange popsicle, now we're good to go.
Oh man. Okay, well if you get to pick anything orange, maybe I'll pick anything brown.
There you go.
And that sounds gross.
No, but you cover brown all the...
coffee?
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Oh, coffee.
I know, right?
Okay, so can we do that together and maybe we can share?
Okay.
Okay.
We'll share. Yeah. We'll just make sure the two colors are covered.
Yes.
And we'll be able to, we'll survive exactly. Based on the sharing.
Exactly. Now all we need is a green and a blue and we're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What last one before we have to go.
So fun.
What are some things that you shouldn't say at a funeral? This is not the most joyful one to end on. Maybe I should pick another one.
Oh my God. Let's not do that. But oh my God, I could laugh so hard.
Okay, well, let's try this one. It might be even harder though. What are some things that you shouldn't say during a marriage proposal?
You'll do.
I take you for my second husband. You'll do.
You'll do.
This is good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Words like good enough probably shouldn't enter that. And then, oh my gosh, we did this one. And then what is your least favorite thing about this week?
Oh, yeah. See, I can't jinx it. I always feel like even the crappy stuff, there's some good stuff in there.
Actually, you're totally right.
Having a cold this close to Christmas is not that fun. But at least I'll get it out of the way, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't get the February sick.
No.
You know?
Nope, not doing it.
If
this cold gets one day and then it's...
you're
if
like
I have to go to bed
day.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon... To get it out, I will.
Yeah.
And that works for me. I sleep it off.
Yeah. Well, colds are so manageable. It's the flu that you really don't want.
Oh, yeah.
Get.
I don't want that.
That's nasty.
Yeah. What about you?
My least favorite thing about this week is what? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I guess it's the walk back to the office after storefront.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's icy.
It's a bit icy.
Yeah. And it's cold. And I guess I don't mind winter. There's lots of reasons to love winter. There's no bugs. It's quieter. People
the crunchy snow.
Yeah, and sometimes you can do fun snow things, but I don't really like walking in the snow. Mm-hmm. It's not the funnest part. So I'll just say that.
But you get your steps in.
Yeah. But I don't count anyway, but it's okay. But at least I get a little bit of oxygen.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is it, Louise.
Yeah, my goodness. It's been a great space.
Yeah, the next time we see each other, we'll be in the new one.
And I look forward to seeing what happens here.
Yeah.
In this space.
Well,
it's been certainly a creative, meaningful conversation for the last, oh my goodness, 4 years.
I know. And an important community space. Mm-hmm. A lot of groups have been able to use this space and have a lot of amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. So,
long
what's going to come in to step it, into this place, into the space? Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting how it all unfolds. But anyway, we do appreciate that everyone out there is listening.
Yes.
And we want to thank our awesome sponsor.
Absolutely.
DeMille's Farm Market. Did you get your Satsuma oranges yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we've been like, we're into three bags now because they're so delicious.
Yeah.
You must. I think actually Brad has to go back down to California to get more because there's not going to be enough to last till Christmas.
Poor guy.
They're so delicious, yeah. Louise. You have to.
I will. I absolutely will.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, thank you so much to DeMille's Farm Market and mm-hmm. yeah.
And good luck to the crew that's moving the studio to our new space.
Yeah, that'll be a chore.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's not me.
Yeah, and we'll certainly see you in the new year.
See you in the new year. We're back on January 9th in the new studio.
Exciting.
It is exciting.
Enjoy those Christmas conversations.
Yes. Have a wonderful holiday, everyone. See you next time.